T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
We are joined by the TV star, the man you'll see on MLB Network, the man who joins us every Thursday, really the star of our own show, and that, of course, is John Heyman. John, good to talk to you.
John, how are you?
I'm good. It's good to be here, guys. I'm so impressed by your golf knowledge. I haven't even heard of half of these guys. They're very impressive, guys.
You know how you can improve your golf knowledge, John? It's very simple.
Start betting on it, yes.
No, I don't think I'll do that. No. I'm a little too close to retirement to take up gambling now.
Where is your confidence level on the start of this baseball season? It's supposed to be 3 weeks from today. Obviously, everything's been sorted out between the owners and players, even though it was an implemented season, and now we're dealing with the virus. But from what you hear talking to officials, knowing the facts on the ground, where's your confidence level? We're seeing Yankees Nationals a week from today.
I'm confident
three
we're going
to... 3 weeks from today.
3 weeks. What did three I say?
You pushed right, said a week. I know. Wishful thinking.
That's what I'm hoping for. Yes.
He's excited. He's jumping the gun a little bit. But I think we're going to get spring training 2.0, and I call it that, not summer camp. Summer camp is too much fun. This is going to be tough for them, the players. Give them credit for going through this. 113-page health and safety protocol manual. Not easy. I read it. It wasn't easy to read it. But to actually do it, I got to give the players credit. I am hopeful. I am very hopeful that we will get at least the start of the season. So we will see some baseball, and I'm cautiously optimistic. These guys, I'm not going to say we will get through it. It's not me. I mean, I'm doing nothing. That the players will be able to get through this.
You know, if the season starts and they stop the season, there's no way they're coming back again this year, right? Would you agree with that, John?
I would agree with that, yes. Okay. I mean, it's up to Manfred, Commissioner Manfred will have that call. And, it's dependent on the health of the players. And, it's going to be difficult if a team has a serious outbreak. One or two teams would be difficult. And hopefully nobody becomes really ill. But if that happens, it's going to be dicey. But, I'm not a health expert. I'm not a scientist. I'm not a doctor. I'm not even going to pretend to play one. But they do say that if you're in your 20s or 30s, you're likely, very likely, to get through this. Obviously not pleasant, but that's why they're able to give it a try here. Obviously, it's much more devastating for somebody in their 60s or 70s or 80s.
Look, I think the question that we're all trying to figure out in watching the reopening potentially of the NBA, NHL, and baseball is, when is too much? When is the amount of spread enough for the league to say, we've got to stop? And look, in the NBA, it's so different. You lose one star player, it changes everything. Baseball's just not built that way. You can lose a star player, and it doesn't necessarily mean your team is completely done. What's your sense on what kind of spread it would take for our brilliant commissioner, and he is just so brilliant, proves it every time he opens his mouth, and I'm being sarcastic, for him to shut the sport down?
Well, I mean, it is up to him. I think that if somebody really has a tough going here and really has to be hospitalized, that's going to make things difficult. Let's not forget that it shut down. Now, we knew less at this time. It shut down with two positives I think it was just one positive, Rudy Gobert.
Yeah.
The NBA shut down and started a chain reaction, and everybody shut down at that point. So That's one player in another sport it shut down. We're going to have, now they're going to announce tomorrow, or planning to announce tomorrow, the results of the intake tests. And there were, I think, 2,000 plus, we believe, tests of the 1,800 players and plus staff. So it could be well over 2,000 tests. And we're going to have several positives out of that test, whether it's 50 or 30, I couldn't tell you, but I'll be shocked if it's only 5 or 10, and, you know, well, let's hope it's not more than 40 or 50 positives tomorrow. You know, there will be guys who have are antibody positive, and for them, that's probably good news at this point, that we don't think, at least nobody has discovered anybody getting it twice, so those will not be announced, though. They will announce the number of positive tests. The players, if they want to say whether they're positive, they can say. Otherwise, we may not know. Although there will be clues, because there will be guys on the injured list, and if they don't have a baseball-related injury next to their name, you can surmise that it may be COVID-related.
Well, if you know, not that you want anybody to get it, but if you're going to get it, I guess it's better to get it now when you have to, before the season starts, get you 2 weeks out of the way and be ready to roll, you know, I guess. I mean,
yeah,
I guess. I want to see anybody
assuming
get it, like
that they get through it okay, yes, I would say so. But this is a brief spring training to begin with. So
right,
if you're
right,
knocked
right
out for 2 weeks or longer, the COVID IL is not necessarily 10 days. It may be longer. It could be shorter. You just have to have two negative tests to get back and play.
Okay, so that's what it is. So it's not necessarily a complete two-week quarantine or
no,
whatever. You just got to get tested two more times and you're positive. And you're negative, I mean.
Yes, although we're assuming that it's going to take, you know, if you do it now, you may not miss any time in the season. But if it's during the season, you probably will miss 10 days to 2 weeks. But if you get the two negative tests and you're fine, you can come back.
And Luis Rojas said earlier, he looks at it as right, you're going to miss 3 weeks, because 2 weeks in quarantine and then a week to kind of ramp up and get ready, you know, to actually play baseball again. It's not as if you just press a button and boom, you're
back.
Yeah,
there will be time missed. It's no question about that. It will be significant time missed, and we will see. We know the Mets have one positive, but we don't know when he tested positive. That
right
was not on the intake, so
right,
it may have been a little while ago, and whoever that is may be able to come back fairly soon. And we know that the hitting coach, Chili Davis, will remain the hitting coach, but will work remotely, and they will call up their minor league hitting coordinator, Ryan Ellis, to help Tom Slater out with those duties.
By the way, let me just give you a Brendan Todd update.
Yes.
On his second shot on 10, he hit the stick.
Oh.
It almost dunked in. He has what looks to be a tap-in birdie.
Nice.
So he should get the 2-under after
beautiful
10 holes. Just a little update on Brendan Todd.
Did you go big on Brendan Todd?
I think you did. I think we both did.
Yes.
Did you get me in on Brendan Todd? You did get me in on Brendan Todd, right?
Joe, I did everything you asked for.
Now, who's better than you?
Brendan Todd, hopefully.
Great, bro.
What are you hearing about the schedules? The only thing that's leaked out is Yankees Nationals 3 weeks from today. Two parts. A, have you heard any other leaks about this schedule, and when are we going to see the whole thing?
No, just that it's 40 games in division and 20 in the geographic counterpart from the other leagues. So you got one-third interleague games, two-thirds in your division, and that's it. The Mets and Yankees will play, I believe, six times, right? So
six, right. Lucky Mets.
So it's, you know, some people think it's an asterisk season, but to get through this is going to take some discipline, a little luck, and a gauntlet through the playoffs. Not going to be easy. There's still some hope for an expanded playoff negotiation. If they did that, they'd have to get that done by the start of the season.
Are they even talking about it? Is that a discussion?
Yet, but,
it has to be by the end of the year, before the season starts, though, right?
Yeah, they can't change the rules once the season starts in terms of the number of teams making the playoffs. But, you know, they had trouble negotiating, as you guys may have noticed, so I'm not too optimistic that'll happen, but they'll give it a shot. It would be nice to see expanded playoffs, but we're being very optimistic. That would take, first of all, getting to the playoffs, second of all, being able to negotiate. And it's unfortunate not to have the expanded playoffs, because that really benefits both sides. So to not be able to do that is really, really unfortunate.
You know, I'm sure I asked you this. We're talking to John Heyman, of course. I'm sure I asked you this last week. Your thoughts on the extra inning rule? Do you like this or not?
It's okay for this year. I'm not necessarily a fan of that, and I hope we don't have it going forward, and I don't think so. They understand this is an extreme. We're in a pandemic, and next year, presumably, we will not have that. I don't love that idea, but this year where they were trying to protect the arms and the players, I will live with it. They said it, you know, worked out fine in spring training. Not really my cup of tea, and I would guess you guys really not that.
Oh, it's horrible.
I
how did I guess that?
I have to say this, though, for this year, with the kind of season it's going to be, it is going to be a little intriguing watching how that plays out. I will say that.
Yeah, it'll be intriguing.
It will be a little bit.
It'll be, I know you guys are not necessarily DH fans, being Mets fans, but, you know, I think for this year, to protect the pitchers from batting, it's fine for this year.
Well, the DH is going to become permanent.
Yeah,
I mean, I've accepted that now.
It is going to be permanent. Right.
Yeah, there's a chance of that, yes, I would say.
What I'm really fascinated about, and I was reading earlier from some of the Yankee reporters, that Gerrit Cole threw a three-inning simulated game, was facing Aaron Judge, was facing Aaron Hicks. Three innings he's at. I'm really curious about, in general, starting pitchers and where they're going to be at 3 weeks from now when the season starts. Are we going to see starters right out of the gate throwing 90, 95 pitches? Or is it going to be kind of a slow ramp up? Because some managers have openly said, hey, guys are all ready to throw four innings now. And so maybe it isn't crazy that 3 weeks from now we've got starting pitchers stretched out as if it was a regular opening day.
Yeah, I didn't think so. I thought four innings, perhaps five, would be tops. But after staying with Gerrit Cole, and some of these guys were really ramping up and training hard. I don't know if you saw the story, I think, in The Athletic by Britt Giroli.
Great story. Yes.
Yeah.
Talk about
it. Interesting to see Max Scherzer and Giancarlo Stanton and big stars playing with each other in West Palm and really getting ready to go for the last few weeks. So, you know, Cole could be one of those guys who could do six innings right out of the gate.
Well, what I took that story as, so, you know, you mentioned it was in The Athletic about Eric Cressy's sports performance gyms. Now, he had all these, you know, star baseball players that showed up secretly. No one should know about it. They didn't want John Heyman tweeting about it, you know, and us asking about it. But isn't Eric Cressy the guy the Yankees just hired to kind of run their training staff?
Yes, he is. So Stanton was there, but some of the other players were Goldschmidt, if I recall, and Scherzer.
Yes.
And, I mean, they were big stars.
Verlander.
Verlander was there.
Right.
And, you know, there were some just regular players, Brian Holliday, I think, some regular players. But it was really quite a star-studded cast, and it would have been interesting to stumble upon that. I mean, I was in South Florida. I'm in New York now for the summer, but it would have been nice to find that. But good job by them keeping it secret as a secret superstar workout sessions.
You know, they were talking about, again, we're talking to John Heyman, they were talking about moving games, that if there was an issue in your ballpark, that they would move games to a neutral site. How is that going to work exactly? If there was some kind of and I don't understand when they say outbreak, maybe people that work there, I don't know what that means, okay? But how about that? And to me, it would be pretty difficult to move a game to a neutral site if you had to play the next day again. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I mean, they're trying to plan for everything, and I give them credit. If you've read this 113-page health and safety manual, it's pretty impressive. They put a lot of work into it. I'm sure they haven't thought of everything, but they sure thought of a lot of things. You know, I think this will depend on the municipalities and perhaps how the teams are doing at that in that area. But for instance, let's say the Braves, this is not anything, any information I have, and Georgia has been pretty open about having people play there and work there and whatever, but I think they would be thinking about AAA sites like Nashville could be a possibility.
Right,
if Toronto can't go, they could go to Buffalo. Buffalo would be a possibility.
Right, right.
And that still has not been announced, at least, and so I'm not sure that's settled whether Toronto is a go for the season because they had to get through the city, the province, and the country, and I think they were still having a little trouble with the province, which was suggesting they didn't love the idea of teams traveling in to play there. So we think that they're going to be able to play in Toronto, but if they can't, Buffalo and Dunedin are the backup plans. The intake was done in Dunedin for that reason. So we will see about them. But, you know, Las Vegas is a possibility for West Coast teams. Omaha is a possible site for teams in the Midwest. So they have some sites. They seem to have thought of a lot of these things. They've had time on their hands. And, you know, at this point, every state is giving them the go-ahead. Canada is the only question. But we just don't know. This COVID-19 has been pretty unpredictable.
Yeah, do you, we're talking to John Heyman, do you think Rob Manfred should just stop talking, period? Maybe hire somebody to speak for Major League Baseball?
I don't know about that. You know, I thought this, him saying that there wasn't going to be more than 60 games meant that's what they're thinking now. Obviously, they offered 82 games and 76 games, and if those were accepted, they would have played 82 and 76.
Yeah, because they were paying the players as if they were playing 60 games. And I think that's what Rob was basically admitting to, the truth, which is that they were never going to pay players a full prorated salary over 60 games.
Well,
that's what I thought he was admitting.
That, but you might, if you want to infer that, you can.
Well, how do you you're inferring it as what then?
I thought he meant now, as we got closer to this and we saw what was going on and how things were delayed, that it wasn't going to be more than 60 games, because at this point there was still hope from the players' side to get more than 60 games, and I thought he meant at the end. When they got to the end, it was only time for 60 games.
Yeah, because of their offers. And that's what Trevor Bauer claimed weeks ago, that they kind of dilly-dallied and waited around because they knew we only want to pay for 60 games. Right now, as we all know, there are a lot of cases around the country. So to act like today on July 2nd, oh, now we can start spring training, but they couldn't have done it 3 weeks ago, is based on a fallacy.
Well, this will all be decided in the grievance. Mark Irving, the baseball arbitrator, will make this decision. And obviously the players have put a lot of stock in this grievance. They feel that they have a good chance. The owners have said, at least publicly, that they feel comfortable that they did everything they could. And obviously there was a negotiation. And, you know, I have to say neither side really moved quickly. If you remember, the players, when it looked like we already missed 3 months and we were shooting for July 4th, the players' offer at the beginning was for 114 games. We didn't have time for 114 games. If you were going to play the postseason in October, I think, you know, you could say folly on MLB side. I think it was folly to think that we're going to stretch out the season with what was going on. Now, the COVID situation was a little bit better when that negotiation was going on. It was a month ago or so. So maybe they were hopeful, but to think we were going to stretch it out and play through October and November, you know, it's going to be, it's not going to be that easy for the players to argue that MLB was stalling when the players asked for 114 games when we were already missing the first 3 months. So, you know, I mean, you could make a case. Neither side looked like they were in a hurry. They were both negotiating, and it clearly was very unfortunate for the sport, and the whole thing was bad. And the worst part of it was they didn't really understand, at least both sides didn't understand it the same way, what the agreement said on March 26th, whether it was automatically prorated or not. Players thought so, and the owners thought not. And then when Rob Manfred went out to Tony Clark's house in Phoenix, and Rob Manfred thought they had the framework of a deal and were ready to get going, and Tony Clark somehow took that as a negotiation. I mean, they were in there, according to Rob Manfred, for 4 to 5 hours negotiating, and certainly I could understand Rob Manfred. I don't know exactly what he said to him, but they shook hands at the end, as he said. Well, they probably shouldn't have done that, but they shook hands at the end, and he thought they had a framework of a deal, and Tony Clark thought, for some reason, that he got to negotiate for five hours with Manfred, and at the end of it, it's just a proposal. That's a funny way for Rob Manfred, who went to Harvard Law School, to make a proposal, to let the other side negotiate with him for 5 hours and say, okay, that's Rob's proposal. And then at that point, the players, while they had said when and where before that, at that point they thought they get to make another proposal for $300 million more. I really think that was odd to think that. You know, for some reason they weren't on the same page. They're both smart guys. I don't consider either of them liars, but I can see how Manfred believed that they were getting the framework of a deal. If they're sitting there for 5 hours negotiating, he's not getting his proposal from Tony Clark, is he? I don't know. So you could say from both sides there were some odd things going on. And, you know, I think it was just honest mistakes. I would say Tony Clark's a very smart guy, but if he's going to negotiate with a Harvard lawyer with 25 years' experience doing this, he probably should have had a lawyer with him. It was nice that he invited him over, and that was a great start, and that was a nice olive branch from both sides. But, you know, I think Tony Clark, to really understand what was going on, he probably needed to have his lead negotiator with him, or at least a lawyer with him, because that was the big problem, not understanding what was going on.
So who winds up buying the Mets?
That's an excellent question. I mean, as I said, we should not rule out Stevie Cohen, even though
I was told
it's not going to be him. You know, they were clearly mad at him, and in spring training I heard it's not going to be Steve Cohen.
Money.
Well, he's got the money, and at this point we're in a pandemic, and, you know, you got to get the best deal you can get, and he clearly is qualified in terms of the finances. And, you know, I think he might have had trouble getting approval based on his previous SEC fines of over, I think he was fined over $1 billion. I don't have it in front of me, but,
yes.
You know, we all have our moments, I guess.
Right.
And that's probably
yeah,
how they're going to look at it.
$1 billion fine is more than having a moment, you know, I would
yeah,
think.
I know, but moment, I'm with boy. You guys. You know, he certainly has the pockets to run a New
right.
York team, so I get it. And, you know, A-Rod obviously has the enthusiasm and the know-how about baseball. He's never run a team, but, you know, he's obviously into it. I don't know if they have the money. They have Vinny Viola, who owns the Florida Panthers, and they have
Mike Rapoli.
Yeah, Rapoli, who is a rich guy from Queens and went to St. John's, and all that's great, but... it has been reported that Repoli and Viola are partners, and they'll put in $250 million. That's nice. Good for them. But
that's not enough.
That's,
no,
not,
that's
$15
not
billion.
Enough, right.
And A-Rod and J-Lo, they don't have $15 billion. They don't have a billion, from what I understand. I'm not putting them down. They're very successful people. Great for them. But we don't know where their money is really coming from at this point. We know they've got... probably between what they've got and what the others have to put in, assuming A-Rod and J-Lo can put in, you know, it's not easy for me to put in their money, but let's say they can put in $50 million. I think Jeter put in about that, and I think Magic Johnson put in about that for his team of the Dodgers. You know, that's $300 million. Where's the rest of the money coming? It's still a $2 billion-plus team, so
right.
Not sure there. And, you've got Josh Harris, I believe his name is.
That's why logic, I'm not even saying this
yeah.
as somebody that's rooting for it, logic tells me Cohen ends up with the team. Because he's got the money,
shot.
There's no questions
you know,
about it.
I mean, you know, A-Rod, for all you want to say about him, and he's obviously got some major positives, you know, in terms of approval, he's got some questions, too. So, if I'm going to bet right now, I'm saying Stevie Cohen's got a shot. That's why we never ruled him out, even though I was
right.
told not going to be him.
Right.
You know, we'll see. Nobody predicted a pandemic, though. So
that is true.
I'm going to
ask you something very difficult to predict, but we better start now. We've only got 3 weeks, and I'll let you change it as we get closer. But right now, in this moment, July 2nd, the World Series will be what?
The teams?
Yes.
Oh, sorry.
Pirates, Royals.
We're going to have
Pirates, Royals.
Let's be positive. Yes.
Yes.
And I'm going to say that the favorites, and I'm going to go with the favorites as if you're putting me on the spot.
Yankees, Dodgers?
Yeah. I mean, the Dodgers.
Okay.
They have depth. They have the talent. And, you know, I know it's 60 games, but, you know, it's a sprint, not a marathon this year, but everybody knows it's only 60, and they're going to be putting their best foot forward. And, but it's a little bit harder to predict, obviously.
No, of course.
The disciplined team might be the one that gets it, you know?
Well, and also, I mean, there's a. I started to think about it the other day as we're ramping up spring or summer camp, whatever the heck MLB Network is going to call it. I think your bosses are calling it summer camp, by the way, John.
Yeah, and I'm already saying I like spring training 2.0 because, you know, summer camp is a very enjoyable experience. And
right.
we're going to all enjoy this from a distance. But the guys who are actually doing it, if you read that manual, they got to do a lot of stuff that they're not used to doing. It's an emotional game. They're used to high-fiving and hugging and spitting and fighting even. And You know, they got to keep the distance from each other. It's going to be work. It's not going to be easy. So I think they like summer camp. I think that's very nice, but to me, it's not summer camp. That was
all right.
A little more fun.
Summer camp, it depends what kind of summer camp you have. I mean, you know, summer camp can be something that's not great either.
That is true.
Yeah,
depends on your experience.
You've got the bugs up there, potentially.
I mean, it could be, you know, there's a lot of different factors that could go into it.
Yeah,
that's
true. You could have bullying, you know. Some guys could be an outcast.
You never know. You never know.
But from my recollection, in the Berkshires at Campanota in 1970, it was more fun. We didn't
you
have
went to camp in the Berkshires in 1970?
1970,
really? Campanota? What was the name?
Campanota.
Campanota. Huh.
Yep.
Okay. Very cool.
You know, we had a saying there. I don't know if you
guys
could guess it.
Would you have like a song?
Yeah, well, it was Campanota, right? So it was, I smell a nota.
Oh.
Very clever, right? We're 10-year-olds. We're very clever.
Very clever.
There's something else that comes to mind, but I can't go there when you
say
that.
It's probably better that you don't.
Yeah, no, I'm not. Don't worry.
John, as we get closer to opening day, we'll see if you stick with the two favorites. But good talking to you. Stay safe. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, John.
Same to you guys. Stay safe.
Be good.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.